The time is now 6 p.m. Welcome to WORT's local news for Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024. I'm your host, Robert McClure.
And I'm your host, Vicki Iden. In tonight's news, Vice President Kamala Harris visits town a day after Super Tuesday and amidst protest of the Biden administration's handling of the Israeli-Palestine conflict.
Our labor segment gives more insight into life as a truck driver.
Madison in the 60s has headlines from 62 years ago.
And some lovely thunderstorms the other day. I'll tell you about a cold rain and all the details coming up. Good evening. This is Rob McClure and Vicki Iden bringing you your live local news live from the WORT studios on Bedford Street in downtown Madison. Here are the headlines for this evening.
Vice President Kamala Harris visited Madison today to tout the Biden administration's investments in the workforce, marking her sixth time visiting Wisconsin since she took office. Harris spoke at the construction site of the new staging facility of the bus rapid transit system, where she announced a new executive order to expand union apprenticeship programs. The executive order creates more registered apprenticeship programs in the federal workforce, encourages the use of those programs through grants and contracts, and reestablishes labor management forums within the federal government. Later, Harris visited her brief home in Madison as a young child when her parents were young faculty at UW. The most recent Marquette poll found that voters are, as always in the state, in a dead split between Trump and President Biden. We'll have more on Harris's visit later in the show.
The State Court of Appeals has dealt a major blow to the regulation of PFAS, the family of toxic forever chemicals that persist in the environment. The appeals court has ruled that the state's Department of Natural Resources, or DNR, doesn't have the authority to require property owners to clean up their PFAS chemicals under the state's decades-old spills law. The spills law has been used by the DNR to enforce cleanup of environmental contaminants. In their ruling today, the court said that the DNR must first establish a rule or standard for PFAS in groundwater. And that's easier said than done. Prior attempts over the past 3 years to establish such standards were repeatedly held up by legislative committee. Meanwhile, competing legislative proposals by Democrats and Republicans that would have at least begun that process failed to move forward this session. Even if enabling legislation were to pass next year, it would potentially take another 2 years for a standard to come into effect, if it indeed is again not killed in committee.
Today, Governor Evers signed a bill that will release about $740 million in funding for capital projects for the UW system. This includes more than $340 million for a new engineering building along Campus Drive. Private donors are slated to contribute $150 million more towards the new facility. The funding bill was approved by the legislature and the Board of Regents after months of threats from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who held the funding up for construction, pay raises, and other UW operations until the system abolished all programs related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. An agreement was reached between the Speaker and the Board of Regents that would reclassify 43 staff members as student success advisors instead of DEI staff. The bill also includes provisions that guarantees admission to UW system schools for the top tier of Wisconsin high school students.
State lawmakers took home more than $1.4 million in per diem payments in 2023. That's according to a new analysis from WISP Politics. Those payments again showed big differences in the number of days lawmakers actually show up to work in that big building downtown. At the high end, Peter Schmidt, a Republican from northern Wisconsin, claimed 150 days at work, for which he received $19,215 in per diems. At the low end was Representative Jimmy Anderson of Fitchburg, who claimed only 25 days at the Capitol and received $1,946. In the Senate, LaTanya Johnson, a Democrat from Milwaukee, had 139 days. That was good for $19,330. And Rob Hutton, a Republican, had 41 days for $4,700. Legislators received just over $155 for an overnight trip or $78 for a day trip. Dane County legislators can only claim reimbursement for day trips. Legislators, of course, also receive an annual salary. That's $57,000.
A Republican bill that passed the Assembly and is likely to be approved by the Senate would eliminate local regulation of the treatment of farm animals, reports Wisconsin Public Radio. The pretext of the bill, as explained by its authors, is to stop local governments from regulating the treatment of farm animals, as has been the case in California and a few other states. For example, these laws have specified the size of animal enclosures and, in some instances, prohibited the sale of meat from other states that did not adhere to the same standards. But the bill contains broad language and would also likely eliminate many local laws and regulations regulating animal welfare. Consequently, the bill's opposed by animal protection and wildlife advocacy groups, including the Humane Society.
The Madison School District and Madison Teachers Union will exchange proposals for a wage increase at their first meeting to negotiate a new contract, reports the Wisconsin State Journal. The school district is expected to ask for a wage freeze for the year starting in July, and MTI, the union, is expected to request an increase of 4.12%. That's the maximum wage increase allowed by state law. Last year, the teachers received an 8% increase after an initial offering of less than half of that from the school district. This year's negotiations, however, will take place under less favorable conditions. The last of the $40 million in pandemic aid will soon be spent, at the same time that the extra funds from the 2020 referendum for operations expire.
Tonight, community members are remembering Tony Robinson on the anniversary of his killing by a Madison police officer 9 years ago. And tonight, they'll honor his life with a mural dedication at McPike Park, painted by local artist Amira Kerr. A march to 1125 Willie Street, where Robinson was killed in 2015, is slated for 6:15 p.m., starting in just a few minutes. And a moment of silence will be held at 6:38 p.m. Meanwhile, organizers say they're raising donations to take police officer Matt Kenny to the Police and Fire Commission. WORT is on the scene tonight and will have more in a future broadcast.
And those are the headlines for this evening. And now we'll turn to Jay Davis and Diego Alegria, who are in the studio next door here. I think they're going to ask you to support this independent local news.
Yeah, you got that right. My name's Jay, being joined by Diego here in the studio. And we are here, to ask you to donate to WORT. But first, for the third time in a row, we don't have one, but two donors to WORT. And we had Anne Louise call in, and she, she came to our rescue. She is now a new evergreen donor of WORT. And I can't believe we asked and received. So thank you so much, Anne Louise. She's going to be getting the WORT sticker set, which is incredible. Great for letting the other people in the world know that you support WORT. And she had a comment in memory of Ellen from Labor Radio. So thank you so much, Anne Louise, for donating to WORT.
Thank you so much. And, well, she called at 608-256-2001. You can call us to pledge. And also you can pledge online at WORTFM.org, as Karen and Bob did. They are from Spring Green. I love that town. Their bookstore is great.
Amazing.
And their favorite show is The Real Jaguar. That's their favorite show.
Yeah, no, excellent pick there. But starting off local news strong. Yeah. And if you did not join us for Democracy Now, like I said, my name is Jay. I'm an engineer for a public affair, and I'm being joined by Diego here. And yeah, we are here to ask you to please consider donating to WORT, Democracy Now. We met our goal, and with this Evergreen donation, we've completely met our goal, and we hope to do the same thing for the local news. So if you care about getting the news that matters to you about the where you live, Madison, Wisconsin, or just Wisconsin in general, then WORT is the place for that. And we ask you to please consider pulling out the checkbook, pulling out the wallets, you know, whatever it might be, calling 608-256-2001 or heading to WORTFM.org and donating to WORT.
Yeah, and you can hear this amazing sound, this bell. Thank you so much, Carrie and Bob from Spring Breeding, from your generous donation.
Yes, yeah, and really, it's so great that Anne Louise left a message here for us to share. And if you're interested in doing the same thing, you know, we would be more than happy to read your comments on air. You know, whatever it might be, in memory of someone, or you just want to shout out your best friend, you know, your partner, whatever it might be, we'd be more than happy to do so. You know, because WORT is community radio, right? You know, we are here to be here for you, and you know, and we ask for a little bit of that in return.
Exactly. And you can receive different thank you gifts.
Yes.
And different levels. One of my favorite ones is the Ward crossbody bag that is new.
Yeah, I
saw you can
that.
Call us to get that one with the WORT logo. It's always good to see the logo. The logo when you are like walking down the street.
Exactly, yeah. No, I love seeing WORT bumper stickers out and about in the world. I love seeing the swag out in the world, whether it's a piece of clothing, whether it's a bag from pledge drives past. And, you know, if you want to be one of those cool people that I see on the street, then you can donate to WORT and get one of these incredible thank you gifts. We are running short on time here in the studio, and we are going to throw it back to the local news.
Vice President Kamala Harris visited Madison today following a decisive Super Tuesday, but she didn't receive a warm welcome downtown where a pro-Palestine rally gathered to criticize the Biden administration. WORT news producer Faye Parks has the details.
Today marks Vice President Kamala Harris's sixth trip to Wisconsin since being sworn in. Joined by U.S. Secretary of Labor Julie Sue and Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, the VP came to Madison to tout the Biden administration's investment in workers and the economy. The press event was held in Madison's Metro Transit satellite bus facility, which is currently under construction. The facility will be used for bus storage and maintenance. Mayor Rhodes Conway highlighted the federal government's contribution to the project, $13 million of the estimated $16 million price tag.
This work would not be possible without the support of the president and the vice president. And these investments that have come from the federal government are absolutely critical to this work getting done.
Vice President Harris and Secretary Sue toured the site and spoke to several workers before briefly addressing the press. While at the facility, Vice President Harris formally announced an executive order from President Biden to expand apprenticeship programs.
That will direct federal agencies to explore what federal jobs we have that can be filled by the highly skilled folks who have been trained in apprenticeship programs, and not just giving these jobs only to people with a four-year college degree.
Vice President Harris did not take any questions at the event, though members of the press did seek her comment on the results of Super Tuesday. When asked how the Biden administration plans to defeat Donald Trump in Wisconsin, she replied, quote, one vote at a time, unquote. President Biden and Donald Trump dominated in yesterday's slew of primaries and are more or less guaranteed to be the candidates in November's general election. Republican candidate Nikki Haley suspended her campaign today, having only managed a win in Vermont. After today's tour, VP Harris stopped by her childhood home on Madison's west side, overlooking Lake Mendota, where she lived for several years as a young child from 1968 to 1970. Later this afternoon, Vice President Harris traveled to the Wisconsin Democrats' headquarters on the Capitol Square for a private campaign event. Roughly 50 protesters convened by Jewish Voice for Peace gathered there, a distance from the Democratic headquarters as police blocked off traffic. One protester's sign read, "Money for Jobs, Not War Crimes."
Kamala, what do you say?
Kamala, what do you say?
How many kids you killed today?
How many kids you killed today?
That's after several steps from the Biden administration in recent days. On Saturday, the U.S. carried out its first airdrop of food aid to Gaza, amounting to about 38,000 meals. On Sunday, the VEEP delivered pointed remarks on the need for an immediate 6-week ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, stopping short of an outright call for a ceasefire. On Monday, Harris met with Benny Gantz, a member of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's war cabinet. Other protesters today confronted a group of state lawmakers exiting the building.
Wait, I want to talk to you. Did she boast about enabling genocide to you?
Krista Bruhn, author of Crossing Borders, The Search for Dignity in Palestine, was at today's protest. Her son is currently living in Palestine, and she says that, on a recent drive from Jenin to Ramallah, he was accosted by an armed Israeli settler.
This is exactly the kind of situation where Palestinians are just minding their own business, going about their way, trying to get from point A to point B, and the settlers show up, block the road, you know, as if they are the ones in charge in the West Bank.
Bruhn also said that none of the candidates in the presidential race reflect American values, like democracy, freedom, and human rights.
People are voting uncommitted, or here in Wisconsin, we're going to vote uninstructed, in order to draw attention to American policy, that it does not stand for our values. And our tax dollars should not be going to death and destruction. It should be going to infrastructure here in the United States. And now that we have supported what is amount to genocide in Gaza, we need that money to go towards rebuilding Gaza and restoring people's lives and livelihood.
The presidential preference primary in Wisconsin is in just under 4 weeks, on April 2nd. Reporting for WORT News, I'm Faye Parks.
And it's now 6:22 p.m., and you're listening to the live local news on WORT. We turn now to two special guests in the studio, Jay Davis and Diego Alegria, who want to tell you a little something about the WORT Winter Pledge Drive.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that amazing introduction. Me and Diego, my name's Jay, being joined by Diego here. We are here to ask you to please consider donating to WORT. And I want to circle back to something. You know, we talked a little bit about this during Democracy Now!, but I'd like to return to it a little bit. And we talked about why WORT is important to us. And for me, personally, WORT has given me a home. You know, it's given me a place in the community to really find somewhere where I belong. I think that if WORT is that place for you, if you come to WORT because you're tired of commercial radio, if you're tired of commercial news being pumped with commercials and also commercialism in your actual news. You know, you have companies that are paying for certain pieces to run, but that doesn't happen on WORT. We are providing you with information that you need because it's all volunteer run. And so because I'm also a member of the community, it becomes this amazing cycle of generosity where I'm able to come in here and bring my time to WORT, and you donating to WORT to get equipment in my hand, and then we can put together pieces that you want to listen to that you actually find valuable.
Exactly. And I think WORT is and it's also part of its mission to be a platform for cultural expression. Yes. It amplifies both voices, and I think it's also a place for storytelling and for learning with others to tell stories, tell your local stories, and also to learn about news from the globe, as we did in Democracy Now. And now we are turning to our local news, right? And I think if you want to become a volunteer, and if you are a listener, that means you are very curious, that you are not following the mainstream, but that you are aware and you promote diverse programming, diverse voices in amplified in the air through WRT. And I think we got a new donation, Jay.
That is correct, Diego. We have a new new donation from Dawn, who donated, and some of her favorite shows are the WRT News and Tropical Rhythms. And she left us a note. She says, "I love hearing Diego's voice on the radio and his promos." So nice shout out for
Thank you, Diego. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Dawn.
Yeah.
What a beautiful name, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So thank you so much, Dawn, for calling in. And she made the call at 608-256-2001. But you can also head to WORTFM.org if you're interested in donating online. Or, yeah, you can make a call to the station, and we can come to, you know, have the conversation about what the right level is for you. You know, if you want to make a one-time donation or, you know, whatever you see fit. And so we really appreciate all the donors we've had so far, and that makes up 75%. We've had 3 out of 4 donors so far, so we're already at 75%, less than 50% through the show. So that means I think we would really impress Susan if we got 100% by 50% of the show. So make that call now, 608-256-2001, and donate to WORT. If you're a weirdo for warts, this is your opportunity to make that known. You know, donating to WORT for the first time is a momentous moment, you know.
Exactly. And also, as we have locally produced news, the equipment that we have, donations are important parts so that we provide an even better sound quality in our locally produced news.
Exactly. Yeah. We need your donations to make the best shows that we can possibly make. And if these shows are important to you, we ask you to call 608-256-2001. But that's going to do it for me and Diego right now. We will throw it back to the local news.
The time is now 6:32, and you're listening to the live local news on WORT 89.9 FM Madison. I'm Robert McClure here with my co-host Vicki Iden. Thanks for staying with us on the 6 p.m. local news.
Take a look around at the beloved belongings in your home. It is likely that any, if not all, of these items once spent time on the road in a truck. On this week's Madison's Backbone, truck driver Danielle tells feature contributor Riley Cutright about the joys and challenges of life behind the wheel. You can catch part one and the full-length version of this episode on our website in the Madison's Backbone archives.
A community is a unified body of individuals sharing something in common. Over 250,000 people call Madison, Wisconsin their home. Have you ever wondered about the secret to Madison's vibrant and unique community? Well, I have the answer for you. Workers. This segment features the working voices who undeniably strengthen and brighten Madison's community on the daily. I am Riley Cutright, and this is Madison's Backbone.
I think most people kind of just see a semi truck going down the road and they don't really have any idea, you know, of what that person behind that wheel's life is like.
Do you think other people in your profession receive enough recognition?
No, honestly, I don't. Every item that we have in our home comes from someone that was not home. Someone that takes their time, even though, yeah, you receive a paycheck, but that was delivered by someone,
right?
You know, in a truck, be it a big truck or a small truck. That was what somebody did. And there can be some very dangerous situations sometimes.
Do you feel safe in your job?
Yeah, because I learned to be a cautious driver. So that is where, you know, like really paying attention to your surroundings is very important. But I don't know that a lot of people do, you know, they just get in their vehicle and they're on their phone and they're not realizing it's like, so as a truck driver, you have to be the one that's watching out for other people. You know, so if the car next to you starts swerving, well, you've got to be cautious because you may have 10 other cars, you know, right there in the vicinity of you. So you've got to be cautious because of one person. And so, yeah, that's like, that's huge safety. And I'm sitting there in traffic, what I think was like, you know, just like traffic from construction. Mm-hmm. However, there's like two helicopters hovering around. And then next thing you see is a car flying down the side of the road and then like 8 to 10 cop cars. So obviously it was a high speed chase. So stuff like that happened.
How does your job impact your daily life?
As far as impact in my daily life, it's just every day is an adventure. For the most part, local gives you more stability to be able to be home and be in your area. Whereas if you're looking at it from the aspect of over the road, your schedule is going to be different, you know. So there's positives and negatives as far as both. And it just really depends on the person. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you want to be home every day, have more of a set schedule, that's being local. If you just want to fly by the seat of your pants, basically, and not know what schedule you're going to have, yeah, that's definitely the road.
How much do you think that your work impacts Madison as a whole?
Well, Wisconsin is a cheese state. What I do locally affects Madison is, you know, there's food delivered daily. Mm-hmm. To restaurants and stores. And if that truck has slowed down, that place may not have something, you know, or they may not be able to provide the services. And as far as over the road, there's a lot of industries in the Madison area that do rely on trucks for every neighborhood that it needs its supplies.
Do you have any tips on getting hired?
So tips would definitely be to study. There is a lot to actually learn as far as taking a test, and then there's different types of trucks. You can get, for your license, there's different tests that you can take. So you can drive just a regular truck. You've got to do like your brakes. You can do a tanker, you can do hazmat, you can do, this is what I'd been doing, is the doubles, triples. Though Wisconsin, thankfully, only does the doubles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so there's many different avenues of looking as what type of truck you want to drive. So there are things that you do have to study to take state test and then look in to see what company is going to best suit you, because there are companies that will provide the training for you. So it does take a lot of research to just be able to see, you know, what avenue is best going to suit you.
I'm Riley Cutright, and this is Madison's Backbone. I'm here with Danielle, and if nobody has thanked you today, thank you.
The time is now 6:38, and you're listening to the live local news on WORT. And it's time to check back in with how the pledge drive is doing. Diego and Jay, we've had a good number of calls so far. Have we doubled our allotment yet?
Not quite doubled, but we have had a very good show so far. But you, You listening right now can make it even better by calling 608-256-2001 or heading to WRTFM.org and making a donation as part of our winter pledge drive. But I'm Jay, I'm being joined by Diego here. And yeah, we are here to ask you to consider donating to WORT Community Radio. And that's something that I want to focus on for this break is the community aspect and how WORT seeks to serve the community.
Exactly. And it's not only in terms of the diverse programming that we have, the locally produced news, and how we have curated programs from other parts of the US or the world, like the BBC News.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you become a volunteer or if you're a listener and you go to these festivals and you have a great time,
yeah,
especially in the summer, right? We yeah. have many festivals where WORT is part of.
Yeah.
We want to see your faces. We want to hear about you. And one way to hear what are your favorite shows, why you're curious about local news, about radio, or like visiting the radio
mm-hmm.
when we have our open house, or
yeah.
when you become a volunteer. We love when we meet listeners mm-hmm. or when we see when we are driving or walking down the street and we see a WORT sticker. And as you said, some WORT stickered from different pledge drives.
And I mean, right now I'm wearing a shirt from a pledge drive in which I don't even think I was aware that WORT existed when this pledge drive was from, but I was able to get it after the fact, and because, you know, I needed some WORT swag in my life. I love wearing this shirt, and I love when people ask me about WORT, you know, because I love telling them that this is community radio and how special that is, and how the fact that this place exists at all yeah. is nothing short of a miracle. And it only happens because of you listening right now, because people continue to tune in and people continue to donate, and you can become one of those donors. You can be part of what makes WORT happen. You know, your money isn't going into some amorphous wall. You know, your money is going to WORC. It's going to Bedford Street, where it's going to help keep this building standing. It's going to help pay the electricity bills to get the airwaves out there. You know, your money, the $1 WORT goes a long, long way. Your money is going to be worthwhile if you donate to WORT. And you can call 608-256-2001 or head to WORTFM.org to make that donation. But we're going to throw it back to the local news.
And it's time now for the most comprehensive weather report on the airwaves with WORT weather guru, Rob McClure.
Well, it was quite an impressive round of thunderstorms Monday evening. They certainly exceeded my expectations. The lightning in particular was impressive, owing in part to a high cloud base and quite dry air beneath that, which absorbed some of the falling rain and allowed clearer visibility. Given how much we had cooled, though, by that point, from 57 around 2 o'clock in the afternoon down to 40 behind that late afternoon cold front, you might have found it surprising that we were able to get such vigorous thunderstorms going. But as I think I mentioned on the Monday morning forecast, this was a prediction off the computer models, and it evidently turned out to be the case. A wedge of warm air continued to press northeastward up overhead, up about 3,000 or 4,000 feet, even while that cold air was deepening upward from ground level behind the cold front. So those low-level processes helped boost the layer of warm air above us upward into cooler air further aloft to get that convection going. The elevated nature of that convection, along with the drier air below cloud base and a generally cold environment, also helped to produce some small hail as well as some iciness in the raindrops. 65 hundredths of an inch was the gauge reading out at the Dane County Airport from Monday's rain. An amount equivalent, I should note, to the entire precipitation recorded in February. So with any luck, this may bode well for starting to get some moisture into our dry soils in March, since we didn't have a whole lot of snow cover this past winter to help with that. And we should be getting another good dose of rain coming this Friday. Have a look at the water vapor image of North America that we have linked on the WORT weather webpage this evening, and you'll see, a slightly chaotic tableau there, but one in which there is roughly, anyway, upper troughing across the northwestern half of the U.S. and upper ridging across the southeast, with an energetic sweep of jet stream winds from southwest to northeast in between those two features. And off the coast of Southern California currently, there's a small gyre just making it onshore there, which will get drawn along that path over coming days to the northeast. Back on Monday, there was some division between the longer-range forecast models as to just how much energy with this system would eject northeast through here as opposed to more eastward across the southern states. And without ever quite resolving those differences completely, the three primary models have at least come to a better alignment on the result of all that up here. The primary energy on the northeastern track will eject quickly across northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin on the day Friday, producing a cold rain through much of the daytime hours, before exiting east then during the overnight into Saturday. Will cool then over the weekend as late-season Arctic air dives south into the narrow upper trough that will be behind the surface storm, which will by then be intensifying over the eastern Great Lakes. So it'll be a bit windy after that storm, especially on Saturday. But by Sunday, once again, we'll see upper ridging starting to press slowly across the plains towards us, which will result in anomalous warmth again by Tuesday, if not already Monday afternoon. There's pretty good model consensus, at least on that. But back to tonight, high clouds beginning to ride northeastward as warmer air rides up the plains to our west will pass with increasing frequency now as we go forward. Temperatures will increase or will drop towards below 30s on easterly winds at 4 to 8 miles per hour. Pardon me. Tomorrow, passing high and mid-level clouds early on, along with some patches of blue still, I think, in the morning, will succumb to invading lower clouds from the south and southeast as we go through the day. Temperatures will reach 50 or so on east to southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clouds will thicken more as we go overnight, and showers may begin to work northward into the area as we get past midnight, though more likely into early Friday morning. Temperatures will drop to the upper 30s on east to northeast winds at 3 to 7 miles per hour. And Friday will continue to wet up from dawn forward, with the steadiest rains likely to fall, I think, from about late morning through the afternoon. Northeasterly winds will be ramping up as low pressure approaches up to about 12 to 17 miles per hour in the afternoon and evening. Temperatures will stall on Friday in the low 40s. Rain should be more sporadic by later in the afternoon or through the evening hours before exiting then entirely through the overnight. There's a good bit of discrepancy between the models as far as totals are concerned, but I think an inch of rain is possible, at least in spots, though I suppose a half to three quarters of an inch is probably more likely. Temperatures will drop back to the low 30s as northeasterly winds ramp up to 15 to 25 miles per hour overnight and back more northerly. And the skies will be clearing then as we go into Saturday, but increasing sunshine will not make a terribly big impact on the temperatures, which will be held in the low 40s by northerly winds up at 15 to 20 miles per hour, fairly gusty, especially through the midday hours. Temperatures will drop into the lower mid-20s overnight, depending on just how much those winds come down overnight, but they will remain a bit breezy. Skies will clear through the overnight hours. And Sunday, more northwesterly winds will be up in the 10 to 15 miles per hour range, but sunny skies should allow temperatures to return to the upper 40s. And I think we'll be back in the 60s on Tuesday for sure, perhaps even on Monday. The temperature currently down here at the station on Bedford Street is 45 degrees. The dew point temperature is a very dry 14. Winds are out of the east at 8 miles per hour. Just a few strands of cirrus passing high over the station in an otherwise clear sky. And the barometer's at 30.08 inches of mercury and fairly steady over the past few hours. And we now go to March 1962, when racism dominated a city council campaign and campus cinematography. Stu Levitan has the details on tonight's Madison in the 60s.
They melt into a dream. Madison in the 60s, March 1962. As the month opens, Southside Alder and Painters Union boss Harold E. Babe Rohr campaigns for a fourth term by attacking the NAACP as, quote, a malicious force, and calling his challenger Jan Marfiak its hand-picked candidate. Marfiak, an administrative assistant with the Department of Motor Vehicles, isn't even a member of the association. Then someone starts sending anonymous postcards to 14th Ward voters, claiming Marfiak is himself black. He isn't, but Rohr refuses to disavow the lies. "I had nothing to do with this," he insists. At a joint appearance, someone asks Rohr point blank, "Do you think that Mr. Marfiak is a Negro?" When Rohr won't answer, Marfiak shoots to his feet. "In the sense of fair play, Mr. Rohr, will you tell me to my face that I am not a Negro?" he demands. Rohr won't. "I'm not going to state whether you are or are not a Negro," Rohr replies. Both papers endorse Marfiak with blistering editorials. Rohr seeks to whip up race hate and fear to divert attention from the real issues, the liberal Capital Times declares. The moderate state journal denounces Rohr's, quote, racist line in his, quote, plans to fan the flames of prejudice rather than work for solutions. The election is April 3rd. In mid-March, an instructor with the UW Extension's Bureau of Audiovisual Instruction sparks a statewide controversy by publicly resigning when the university suppresses his undercover film documenting housing discrimination in Madison. BAVI instructor Stuart Honish used long-distance lenses and hidden microphones to film 13 separate incidents of landlords rejecting black apartment seekers outright or lying to them about unit availability. He called the film To Find a Home. It was largely funded by $3,000 in donations raised by state NAACP President Lloyd Barbie, acting as chair of the local group Citizens Committee on Anti-Discrimination in Housing. Honish and Barbie had explained the candid filming technique to Extension officials in 1960 and had gotten their approval and the final $1,000 they needed. But when Honish screened a rough cut in January 1962, Extension officials declared the university could not, quote, in good conscience, release the footage because it violated the privacy of the discriminating landlords. Honish and Barbie proposed blocking their faces and street addresses, but the administrators insist Honish recreate the film using actors. Honish writes an angry resignation letter instead and gives it to the Capital Times for Monday afternoon's front page, March 19th. Tuesday morning, the state NAACP chapter starts picketing Extension offices, first in the Madison campus, then around the state, with placards reading, "UW Protects Bigots," and "Sifting, Winnowing, and Film Burning." UW President Conrad Elvium, who in 1931 signed a petition to enact a covenant barring blacks from living in his Nakoma neighborhood, says he has, quote, a moral and ethical problem with the candid camera work, which he says, quote, has overtones of the police state and violates a basic freedom our Constitution guarantees. On Wednesday, University Vice President Fred Harvey Harrington meets with Honish Barbie and other NAACP officials at the YWCA, trying to clear the air. Harrington agrees they were open with Extension officials about using candid footage, but that the information did not get to central administration. "We made a mistake at the university to have allowed the hidden microphones and cameras," he says. "Having made it, we do not feel we should carry it forward." The WSA Student Senate sides with suppression and endorses the administration's actions a few days later, stating that the fight against racial discrimination, quote, is not worth affronting the same spirit of fair play that is offended by discrimination. the controversy splits traditional allies. The Wisconsin Civil Liberties Union Board of Directors, which includes attorney James E. Doyle, UW Law Professors William Gorham Rice and Abner Brody, the Reverends Max Gabler and Alfred Wilson Swan, and Capital Times editor Miles McMillan, votes unanimously to condemn hidden cameras and microphones as, quote, an unwarranted invasion of privacy, and supports the administration. McMillan backs his board vote with an editorial on March 23rd, calling on the NAACP to, quote, learn that the ends do not justify the means. The liberal group Americans for Democratic Action supports the NAACP and calls for the film's release. The administration doesn't budge, releasing only the 80-page transcript of the film and directing Honish's colleague Jackson Tiffany to recreate the undercover footage with actors. The regents take no formal action, but individual members express their approval of how Elvium and Harrington handled the controversy. The original film is not destroyed, but is locked away. And that's this week's Madison in the 60s. For your award-winning, listener-supported, pledge-driving WORT news team, I'm Stu Levitan.
And the time is now 6:55, and you're listening to live, local, handcrafted news on WORT, a community radio station funded by you, the community, so that it can remain non-commercial. And this evening, Jay Davis and Yegor Alegria have been good enough to come down here and ask for some donations on behalf of the news. Guys, any additional pledges in the last few minutes?
No additional pledges. We started off the hour very strong, didn't we, Diego?
Yeah, we did. Very, like, calls.
Donations online.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it was bing, bang, boom. We made 75% of our goal. And honestly, I was so confident, I thought we were going to get it done halfway through the show. But we have not. We need one more donation before the end of the hour. That you have several minutes. If you're just hanging out at home, listen to your local news, then I ask you to please consider picking up your phone and either heading to WORTFM.org or, I mean, you surely have the WORT app by now, or call 608-256-2001 and get that last minute donation in on behalf of the local news. And I really love the term local handcrafted news.
I love that term too. I think it encapsulates what we do here at WORT. And I like also the idea of the handcrafted. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, and you can see that here at the station, the tapes that we used to have for the local news.
Yeah.
Where they have to literally like cut
and, tapes. And put together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we do that now digitally with licenses that cost money. So
yes,
donations
they do.
Are an important thing. And also we want to hear from you. What are your favorite shows? Any comments that you might have regarding 6 p.m. local news or other shows that we handcraft?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it really, I think, puts an emphasis on that everything that is at WORT gets made by a person, you know, that is a part of your community, that is trying to make the community better in some way, shape, or form. And I think that's really powerful when you really stop and think about 24/7 programming. We are on air all the time, and someone has had a hand, most likely a volunteer, a hand in making that, you know, someone that has taken time out of their day for no, you know, monetary compensation. And that is incredible to me. And I hope that it's incredible to you listening right now, because I think that, you know, if you like WRT, if you like what we make, what our volunteers create, then please call 608-256-2001 or head to WORTFM.org. We have a few seconds left here. Diego, do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners?
I think just like thanking our generous donations, our listeners, Adrian and Civil, were our pledge takers. Vilma's Fund LGBT Assistance provided our food for our volunteers. And thanks so much to Katie for being our sound engineer.
You are listening to WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
And keep those calls coming. I just heard the phone ring. Let's get another call or two. It's 608-256-2001 or WORTFM.org/donate. Our headline writer this evening was David Aaron. Special thanks to feature contributors Riley Cutright and Stu Levitan. Our engineer Katie Gergella got the sound from our studio out to your ears. Faye Parks produced the newscast, and Shelley Pittman is the news director at WORT. I'm your host, Robert McClure. Thanks to all of you who called in and pledged to support this news show this hour. You are the people who keep this news independent and free from commercial influence. Stay tuned next for a live edition of Query, and we'll be back in your ears tomorrow night at 6 for tomorrow's news. Until then, good night.